This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes, boom, boom. These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Today on The Grave Talks, part two of Walking Each Other Home, a conversation with psychic medium and death doula, Dominique O'Gorman. Now, when you do have someone reach out to you, what kind of information do you get from them? Because it's not like you can just do it on demand. Like, you know, I could say, hey, Dominique, I want to talk to my dad today.
We totally do it on demand. We do it on demand. It's so much fun. It's very normal. So if people want to work with me or reach out with me, they go through my website and email me. So my assistant handles it. I want to go into every session completely blind. I am a huge skeptic, and I don't think 95-98% of the people in this line of work are truly mediums. I think a lot of people receive those emails or messages and, you know, my mom died of cancer in April on this day, and I just want to talk to her. So I refuse to I do not communicate with my clients until I'm sitting down in front of them, because I feel like at that point I could tell you everything you wanted to know. And unfortunately, there's some really terrible people that do that. So if people want to have a session with me, they email me or reach out on my social media. My assistant takes their information and puts them on a calendar. And the first time I know anything about you is when I log on to Zoom or sit down with you face to face and you introduce yourself. That's the only way I know your name. I have no clue. But we do them several times a week. We're doing paranormal expos. I'm actually going to go up to ParaUnity in New Jersey on the 1st of November. And I spend the whole day just doing little mini sessions with anybody that walks up and wants a reading.
Isn't it exhausting to all that energy coming through you and around you? And I would just think at the end of the day, you'd be like, oh.
Physically, I have no voice at the end of the day. But because my body is, I work kind of as an evidential medium, I will take on physically whatever's happening most of the time. I've done videos about it and stuff all over my social media. But say I have a client who's died of like strangulation, I won't be able to breathe right for hours because like my body takes it on because it's trying to process what's going on. Or if there was a heavy smoker, I'll be coughing for the next hour. But I've definitely discovered over the years, if I go like a week or two and don't do like a reading for somebody, I'm exhausted. I feel like my energy is not going where it's supposed to be. And I feel like it's super stagnant. So whenever I've tried to take long periods of breaks, it never works out well for me. So actually connecting with people and sharing those messages, spiritually, I feel great. I'm not tired after that. I think my body is a little wore out more from the taking on the physical experiences that they're sharing with me. Normally.
Now, are you able to control it as far as,
Yes. Okay,
you because have to. I was like, say you're out for dinner with your family and here comes some woman and here's a spirit that wants you to stop dinner. And, you know, I just think it would be nonstop if you let it.
You have to learn how to control it or it will swallow you whole. I made a rule a long time ago, like a decade plus ago, that I will not walk up to a stranger in public and connect with them. I think I have maybe 3 times my whole life. And I just refuse because I think that is so disrespectful. You don't know if that person wants a message from them. You don't know what kind of headspace that person is in.
Right.
You have no idea. And so I refuse to do that. And I think, like I feel them everywhere I go. I see dead people everywhere I go, but I will not connect with a random stranger out in public. I think that's bad juju personally.
I just had a conversation about that like a week or two ago about what if you were able to have that superpower? Would you do it? Would you go up to someone you don't know? And I was in the category, I don't think I'd be comfortable with it. But
like I said, maybe 2 or 3 times in my whole life have I walked up to a stranger and been like, I am so sorry. This is going to be crazy. And if you don't want to hear it, let me know. I will walk away. But that's because their spirit that was around them was so in my face. And I knew if I didn't talk to them, they were going to follow me home and be in my face until I figured out how to find them. And that's just what it was going to be. But like I said, that's been so few times in public have I done that. I just think it's really disrespectful.
And do you find, like I was talking about, when I went through some really dark, deep grief, do you find that it really helps people to sit down and have that connection through you?
Absolutely.
Because I found that I just wanted some validation.
Absolutely. Normally the first word out of people's mouths after a session is over is, you have no idea how much better I feel. And that to me is, there's not a job in this world, I don't care how much money you offered me, that I would do to stop doing this job. Because if I can give anybody that little drop of peace, it's worth it to me. Normally the first thing clients say is, oh my God, I'm so scared and freaked out. But by the end of it, it's, you have no idea how much better I feel. And that's worth all the money in the world. It's absolutely what it's all about.
Because I think that when we lose somebody who's really important to us, even if I just had 5 more minutes, I just need that one little connection. Like,
right.
I need to be able to tell you goodbye. I need to be able to know you're okay, whatever it is. And that's what makes death so hard.
Absolutely.
And I think that a lot of times we've got that place within ourselves to do that. But I need someone like you who can help walk me through that.
I totally understand that. I've lost my dad, my grandfather, my mother. The only living relatives I have are my biological children. Everybody else is gone. Mm. So I genuinely understand that. And, I am not one to believe in the whole, I understand how you feel, because that's not true. Like, you lost your dad, I lost my dad. Even if they were exactly in the same way, we're going to experience it.
We had different relationships. Yeah.
Different relationships, different experiences. That's just what it is. But I definitely think that there is power in walking through it with somebody and having that closure and validation. I have a client now that I've had for over 10 years, and I tell her story all the time. I don't tell my client stories unless they've given me permission and encouraged me to share their stories. But years and years ago, I went to my first like large group reading with like 50 plus people there. And I pull up and this woman walked up to me and she's like, just so you know, I think what you're doing goes against God. I'm a very religious woman, but my friends want you here so you can use my space. And I was like, okay, absolutely respect that 1000%. And the entire time I was talking to everybody else, she was back sitting away from everybody on her phone doing her thing. And I kept seeing this girl run back and forth behind her, but she would like change her mask every single time. She would look different, wearing crazy clothes and wigs. And 2.5 hours later, I was leaving. And she was one of those few that I walked up and I was like, I am so sorry, but I have to do this because I can't leave here and not tell you. And I explained to her what I was seeing and she just broke down sobbing. And she's like, that was my daughter. She had special needs and was nonverbal her whole life. But every day she would come out of her room dressed in something insanely wild, fishnets and green skirts and wigs and leather jacket, anything she could think of. And to this day, she's one of my most loyal clients I've ever had to this day. So I think it's all about sharing that space and doing respectfully. And it just shows you the power of healing and true unconditional love and how we're all connected. And I think it's very powerful. I really do.
One of the other hats that you wear that does go hand in hand with this, I think, is death worker. And I want to ask you, what does that mean to be a death worker?
So I think death is one of those topics that people, especially in this part of the world, are petrified to talk about. So I'm an advocate for talking all things death, dying, and grief. But I'm also a certified death doula, just as in like a birth doula will help a child being born into this world. We help people as they transition out of this world. Just kind of consider it the same door, go in a different direction. We will help people sometimes years in advance prepare. Sometimes we aren't called in until they are already unconscious and we're helping their family. But I think it's very important to help people have a plan in place and know they're not alone as they're transitioning through death into their next life. And I think it's probably the most sacred work I could possibly ever imagine doing. But yeah, we really try to help them understand like they're not alone. They have choices. They can do whatever they want. We advocate for them. Sometimes that means having tough conversations with their families. And sometimes that means standing at the door and not letting their neighbor that they didn't want in their house, not letting them in their house. Sometimes we do that. Death doulas come in all shapes and sizes. There is no two alike. Some do ceremonies. Some do aftercare. Like we all play a different part in this bigger picture. But I think as a death doula, it's probably one of the greatest jobs anybody could ever do.
I worked for a hospice for about a year.
And love our hospice workers.
And great. Seeing that what they do, which is a lot of what you're doing too, is helping.
Yeah,
that
they
transition.
Do the medical stuff. We're not allowed to do the medical stuff. They do the medical.
But you're helping with that transition. And
yes,
being
absolutely.
There for the family and kind of here's what to expect sort of thing. And it kind of leads me to a question that, and I brought this up a little bit ago about with children and elderly people who might have dementia, especially at the end of life, they'll say, oh, and they'll see some, you know, something
all
or somebody.
Time.
And I think sometimes that gets dismissed as they have dementia when actually I think they're seeing.
Oh, yeah. Nobody walks home alone. Like nobody. We will walk them as far as we can. And then their loved ones from the other side walk them the rest of the way. It is very, I mean, if you worked in hospice care at all, it is very normal for someone to see like their brother, sister, loved one, child, pet. Very normal. Very normal.
Yeah. One of my good friends, he was in hospice and his poor wife, they lost a dog too, like a week before he goes into hospice. And he looked down, he saw the dog, and he's, jump up here with me.
I love it. I absolutely, and I encourage it. And we talk to them about that because they are actually experiencing that. Whether other people can see it or not, doesn't matter. It's not their transition. And I think people need to be more supportive. And a lot of the times, those are the conversations we're having with people.
Mm-hmm. It's just interesting because what you're doing, it's kind of two different things by being
absolutely.
A psychic medium. But a death doula, some of those things would kind of come into play, I would think. I would think what you're seeing is different than what the family would be seeing, for sure.
It is very, they're two totally different jobs, two totally different paths. But I think my mom worked as an end-of-life care for a long time. So she just kind of drug me around with her whenever she would take care of her clients. So to me, it was very normal. I was like, okay, we can do this. It's no big deal. But I think it's very interesting how every single person is different. Every single transition is different. But I think there's something comforting knowing as a medium what's waiting for them on the other side. And I hope that my stories and my experiences and how I can speak with them helps their transition a little bit easier as they cross over.
Because are you able to kind of see the loved ones come to them since you do have abilities like
that? Sometimes, not always. I can only see them if they want me to see them. I can normally feel it in the room, but my focus is so on my patient. If I'm there as a death doula, I want all my energy, time, and focus to be on that patient.
Mm-hmm.
I can definitely feel them, but I make a point to not try to open that door too much unless they need that validation, you know, unless they're suddenly scared, like, oh my God, I'm seeing them. Are you seeing them too? That's about the only time I will blend the two.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about what you do in on your website, I saw you have soul engineering. And I'm like, I'm not really sure what that is, but I'm 100% intrigued by that. It sounds like it could benefit most of us.
I love that. So soul engineering, it is, I promise you haven't seen it anywhere else. You're not crazy. It's literally something I sat with for a very long time. I used to do mentorship. I did a lot of workshops, and I really loved it to help people understand their gifts and their grief and their process. So years and years and years ago, I sat with spirit for a long time, and I was like, what can I call this? Because it's not mediumship. It's not just teaching some class. Like, this is all encompassing. And it literally got dropped in my lap, and it was like soul engineering, because how I look at it is, when you want to start growing your spirituality and understanding how you are receiving messages and just yourself and your spirit as a whole and your soul completely as it is, we have to start with the footers, and then we build up the framework. And from there, we can slowly begin to build the bridge of understanding from this side to the next. And we sort of combined our soul work, which we all have to do in this lifetime. And the actual definition of engineering is literally building a solid frame from the ground up. So I kind of combine the two of understanding how to work with your soul and understand your soul and your process and your lessons. And it's holding space for people and being open to help share my experiences, and they can share theirs as well, and just really encourage them to learn how to build their soul bridge to understanding.
I think that there are a lot of people who are a long ways away from doing that. And I don't mean that to be mean.
I don't think so. They're really not.
Okay, good. Because that makes me feel encouraged.
I have people that are like, I can't sit still. I can't, I'm so flighty. I can't get my head on straight. I'm like, okay, let's work on some grounding. And we give them different grounding techniques. That's a great footer. That's great groundwork for you to learn how to begin building your bridge. If you can't ground yourself, if you've done paranormal investigations, you know, you have to ground yourself and like go in prepared. Some people have no concept of how to ground themselves. Right. So we can start there. Everybody's going to be different. So we can work on grounding and listening to your own inner voice. Those are all great ways to start building your soul bridge. Absolutely. It doesn't have to be, I don't look, talk, walk, or act like anybody else in my field. I gave up that ghost a long time ago. I don't come in wearing like the boho stuff and talking about evolving to the fifth dimension. I don't do all that. That's fine. So fine for some people, not for me. And I think when we meet people where they are and we show up authentically, it gives them permission to do the same. And keeping it simple and meeting them where they're at. If they want to talk about how to ground themselves, like, hey, let's go stick your feet in some dirt or go sit by the water. What do we need to do for you? And then we can dive into them understanding their intuition, and it just grows wherever they're at. We'll meet them there and we'll build from there.
Do you think that everyone has a certain amount? Because there are people who go, oh, I'm not like that at all. I have basically no intuition. I don't feel things. I don't, as far as paranormally, like I don't believe in any of that. But sometimes I wonder, are you even letting it in?
Yes,
got the walls so built up that you don't let it in. Like I think we all have intuition, but you're not paying attention to it.
We all have it. The same people who believe that, oh, there's no such thing as, you know, chance, and there's no such thing as, you know, everything's predetermined and like that. I guarantee they still look both directions when they cross the street. The same people who think that they don't have any kind of intuition, like, well, there's nothing like that, they will follow that gut feeling and like, let's go ahead and stop at this yellow light instead of going through it since it's still yellow. Because something in their gut's telling them to slow down. People just sometimes expect these big, bold signs that are, you know, like we see on TV. And it's not like that. That's just not how it works.
I say that all the time. I'm like, we're looking for the double rainbow after Queen Elizabeth died when the cardinal just flew up and we missed it.
I tell people, that's so funny. I tell people all the time, literally almost every session, I'm like, when people come in, they're looking for that one sign. Like my dad said when he died, he's going to say this. And that's how I know it's him. I promise you that's not going to be how he comes through. A pinky promise. And like if my mom says there's going to be a red cardinal on that post on my porch, it's not going to be there. But if you look to your left, there's like 25 of them on your grass. So people are so fixated on one thing that they miss all the other signs around them.
I 100% agree with that. I just think that you're looking for one thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that grief kind of throws you too, because you're so desperate for that one thing that you're missing the other things. And yeah, it's deep, dark grief is what that is. You know, it's hard to, it's even hard to know that it's a sunny, beautiful, sunny day because you don't see it like that.
Oh, absolutely not. Grief is its own wave. And I explained it a lot in the book that that's coming out.
Oh, a book?
We have two books coming out because I can't do one thing at a time. My brain doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. But we talk about, I call grief the wave. And sometimes it's like we're standing on the beach and like the wave's coming up and barely touching our toes. And other times it knocks us down under the water and like our legs are getting ripped up by like the shells and rocks and we can't see the sun through the water and we can't breathe. But eventually it will start to go out again. We'll be able to stand up again. But every single day that can happen multiple times a day. Mm-hmm. Either one of those things can mm-hmm. happen. Grief doesn't go away. We don't learn to carry it differently. It's just, it's always present. It's just what it is. Some days it just feels different than others, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. It does. I always say you learn to live around it.
Yeah.
Do you find that
crazy? The things that'll trigger it too. Like you'll be perfectly fine. And then suddenly you're like hitting your stomach, like you've been gut punched, but it's just, that's just part of it. That's just part of it.
Yeah. Cause it's been years and years. My dad died in the '90s and my sister and I went to a concert over the weekend and it was one of his favorite artists. And oh my God, hearing those songs, you know, hearing her sing her songs, it was overwhelming. And my sister was ugly crying during the whole thing.
I do not believe in accidents at all. I don't believe in them. Everything happens for a reason, right? So this weekend in North Carolina where I live, my mom was like stuck in the 70s. And when she had me, she just like kind of like created her own party buddy. That's just how she was till the day she died. I was raised like at concert halls. That's what we've done my entire life. That's just what we do. There's a huge pavilion out here about 2 hours from us. And we would go literally every summer. We'd spend the entire summer going to concerts. I had not been to that particular venue since my mom died 10 years ago. This past weekend, Post Malone was playing. And I was like, this is the one. I got to go. This is the one I've been waiting to go to that one pavilion. With her. And I took a chunk of her ashes with me and I put in the grassy hill that's up there. I was like, oh, no, mom would love this. Like, she's going to love this.
Would.
But it's crazy. It's just so crazy, right?
God, that made me tear up. I didn't even know your mom. I'm sitting here getting all teared up just thinking about it. Because Saturday night, I was doing the exact same thing.
Which
is crazy. It was just that's like, you realize how close it is under the surface.
It is. It's wild.
You know, it's just right there. Do you find that most people reach out to you because they want a connection because of grief? And
absolutely.
They want a connection with someone?
95% of my clients are because they're in a deep throes of grief and they need healing and they need validation that they're not crazy and that their loved ones are okay. That's 95% of them. That's what I get contacted about.
Because I think it's just different. We could tell ourselves, you know, we could look inside and go, I know he's okay. I know this, I know that. But having someone else tell you that, it's different.
The validation's totally different.
Yeah.
Totally
and especially
different.
When, you know, you only know my name. You don't know why I'm here in front of you today.
Right.
You could probably guess somebody that I love passed away. You know, and we've all seen the people on TV that are asking kind of random questions. And it's like, okay, you know,
right.
A red dress. Well, half of us here saw our loved yes. one in a red dress. And it's kind of leading that way that we can all see ourselves a little bit. I'm seeing the number 10. Well, that could be a zillion different things. 10 kids.
We call
October.
Those the ABCs of mediumship. If they tell me, oh, it's a butterfly or a dragonfly and 11-11, I'm like, sit down. I'm not doing this with you. That's not how it works. I'm convinced, like, I can't. So it's kind of an interesting little trade off. I cannot connect with my loved ones on the other side. I cannot see them, hear them. I can only get messages like everybody else gets messages about their family. Like, I can tell they're close, songs will come on, I'll smell them, that kind of stuff. And I've never been able to go to a medium, no matter how famous they are, and have a reading done with them. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. But last year, the person who I consider like the godfather of mediumship, I sat down with a session with him and I was like, all right, here we go. And he's one of these people that require a first name, last name, how you're connected to them and how they died. So you already give him all this information anyways, but he's absolutely amazing at his job. So it's okay. And he sat down, he was like, well, I don't know how to tell you this, but your mom just told me to mind my own damn business and leave me alone. And I'm like, yep, that's her. You got her. We're good. We can move on now. And so like, that's, it's just kind of how it works. It's always interesting.
And for him, he's like, I don't quite get that, but she's not coming through to you.
It was so funny. He was like, I can keep trying. I was like, no, that's so on point. You don't even know. Like, it's totally fine. We can move on now. Like, we're good. Let's go back to having our regular conversation now.
I find that, just,
yeah.
It's so interesting to me that you would also seek someone out to get that.
I think it was one of those things. I think it's become a running joke over the last decade that I cannot receive messages for myself. And I think it's because I know my family is good. I know how they died. I know they were all ready to go home. They made that abundantly clear. Like, I want to go. I'm tired of being here. So I don't have the so sad. I mean, I miss them, but I don't have that what if. So I'm convinced that's like spirit's way of being like, girl, sit down. You're fine. You know, they're good. I think it was just more just at that point, I was like, if anybody can pull it off, it's going to be him. So because my mom had a big crush on him.
Oh,
so I was like, if anybody can do it, I just want to see if he can do it. And it was very funny. Oh, absolutely. But in his own way, it was very funny. It was just very funny.
Do you have pets come through to you?
All the time.
Really?
All the time. Dogs, cats, and birds mostly. We've had guinea pigs come up. We have a client that I sat with her for a very long time last November. And I was convinced it was like a child, like a biological son, because her grief was so overwhelming. It was like palpable. I don't get emotional during this kind of stuff. And I sat there and cried my whole way home after her session. I was like, her grief is breaking my heart. And when she got home, she sent me a picture and it was of her dog. And I was like, normally I see dogs as dogs and cats as cats or whatever. But this soul was just so deeply that loved her so deeply. To me, he presented himself as like, I'm her child, not like a four-legged creature. So yeah, we get dogs a lot, we get cats a lot, birds a lot, but I think it's because they want to talk a lot in life, and this is their chance to get it all out. So we get that a whole lot.
Well, and especially for someone like her to have that deep connection with a pet, and I find that you can't ask them a question, you know? It's not like you can say, are you a... But, you know, in life,
you can't say, are you okay?
You know, am I doing the right thing? Because we have to make some difficult decisions with pets. And
yeah. And unfortunately, her loss was very sudden and tragic. And there was no warning at all when it happened. So it was just, and she was a young woman. She was like in her like mid-20s. She was a young woman. So it was very difficult. That was her only, you know, it was just her and him for years. So it absolutely broke my heart for her. But it's interesting to me how a soul is a soul is a soul regardless.
Yeah. Oh, and I hope that you brought her some peace.
Oh, yeah. She's great. She's great. I love that.
Now, you have a website. People can get more information, DominiqueO'Gorman.com.
Yeah.
And I'll put a link in the show description. So wherever you're listening, you can find the link there. Super easy as well. But all the information about you is there.
Awesome. Yeah. I have a great assistant. She does all the things. She handles it all. So yeah, it's all right there. We do, you know, mediumship. Some people prefer not to connect with medium stuff. And they just have psychic questions, you know, life, relationships, career. We can do just that. Normally people do like the all-in-one. It's the same price regardless of what you want. We do virtual sessions. So it doesn't matter where you're at in the world. We have clients in Japan. We have some in Italy. We have clients everywhere. Doesn't matter where you're at. We can make it work. We're also going to be at a few more expos this year before 2024 wraps up. So that's fun. But yeah, it'll be great. It'll be so much fun. And I hope I get to talk to any of your friends that would like to contact me. It would be great.
Do you ever do those big rooms or like where 50 or 100 people are there and you kind of, you know, I'm thinking of like Teresa Caputo or John Edwards, kind of that
gallery
sort of thing.
Readings.
Is that kind of overwhelming?
No, I feel really guilty after those because I have to keep those at about 2 to 3 hours. Otherwise, I just have to for my own sanity because I feel really guilty if I can't connect with every single person in the room.
Right.
But it's that humany part of me. I feel really guilty if I can't connect with everybody. So I try to keep groups small. We do virtual ones online too. We do 10, 25, and 50 online.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Well, if we do small groups like 10, 15, everybody gets a message of some sort. So I like keeping them small. But I have noticed if anybody, you know, if anybody listening ever attends one, if you go to someone like that and you're getting a large group, there's no way to speak to everybody. Mm-mm. But if you listen to the messages that are coming through, there's always a theme for that night. Always, without fail. Whether it's, you know, understanding and grieving like a childhood that you didn't get to live or losing a specific parent, stuff like that. There's always a theme. So whether it's with me or, you know, like Teresa Caputo or John Edwards or whatever, there's always a theme that night and you can hear it through the messages of the people that do get connections. So don't ever feel discouraged and you'll definitely get something out of it regardless, I promise.
Because but when yes. I've gone to some of those before and I've never been read at any of them, but I did feel that. Like I felt like I was kind of in a bigger picture than just me. You know, because it was like watching the people's reactions and their responses and that overwhelming feeling that they made a connection. Yeah. It was very powerful.
It is very powerful. I love going to those things, not because I want a reading. I guess that sounds bad. Like, I feel selfish if I got a reading, if I went to something like that, because you know what I mean? Like, I know mine are good. There's people here that need it. If they need it. But I love being on the other side and watching somebody else work. I think it's very, for the few people I really, truly trust in this field, it's a really beautiful thing to watch it happen from the outside. Because I don't see what it's like when I'm doing a session for somebody. So get to see somebody that gets that healing and getting to watch it from the outside is a really beautiful experience. It truly is. And it's not all sad and down and depressing. Everybody mm-hmm. laughs and has a good time and you will connect with people and it's so great. And there's always a message for everyone there. There really is.
I agree.
Whether they're speaking to you directly or not, you will get a message while you're there. You'll hear it.
Now you need to reach out when your books come out.
Yes, ma'am.
So we can talk about
it. Last year.
Yeah. But. So we can discuss your books. I would love that.
Yeah. One is a workbook. It's kind of like a Wreck My Journal sort of, you can write in and do all the things. And the other one is my personal story as a medium. So,
oh, let's do that. Let's talk.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to chat with me. I really appreciate it. This
Thank
was really
you. It was
interesting.
A great conversation. I really enjoyed myself.
That wraps up our conversation with Dominique O'Gorman. Get more information at her website, dominiqueogorman.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes without the commercials, become a Gravekeeper. You could sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free. You could also sign up at patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.